Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, today I choose to follow you. Today I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live for you. And yes, as for me and my house, we will serve you. As for me and my house, we will spend our lives on you today. That's my prayer. Folks, this is Don Crisp, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls, and welcome to the Good News Christian Ministries. To reach us, you can contact us by writing Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. That's the Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Today we begin a new series on the Lord's Prayer. That would be the title of the message, with the emphasis today being on the first part, Heavenly Father, Our Father in Heaven. Our Father in Heaven. Now, of course, we look to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13, as Jesus prays this prayer. But let me first of all add a few comments before we begin. Let me begin by reminding us that whatever we do in life, we face the needs that need to be done. Whatever we need to do, whether it's this or that, but I believe that that requires an attitude. An attitude. I always say that attitude determines action. Our attitude towards the Lord's Prayer is so important. You know, lots of questions here. Why did we lose the right to pray the Lord's Prayer in our schools? I would also add, whatever happened to our right to pray the Lord's Prayer in our churches? I don't see a lot of churches praying it. I suppose there are many reasons for those answers. I think Francis Schaeffer said it best in the last book that he wrote before his death, which was my favorite book for so many years, entitled Evangelical Disaster. Primarily, what he concluded is that the evangelicals forgot to show up for the discussion on prayer and the removal of prayer in the schools. Having said that, I still really believe in the principle of the importance of the prayer. Listen, that which we value, that which we validate, that which we treasure, that's also what we guard. I don't think we guarded it very well, did we? And because we don't guard it well when it came, we didn't guard it well when it came to schools, we also did not guard it well when it came to our churches. I was speaking to a postmodern worship leader recently, and he said, well, you know, I just don't believe we should pray the Lord's Prayer, maybe every once in a while, but, you know, I said, what's your reasoning for that position? He said, well, when you recite the same words week after week, I mean, really, those words become stale and meaningless. And I said, you mean like singing choruses or hymns or even reading scripture? Anything we do, if we're not intentional, anything we do, if we don't have an attitude of gratitude and an attitude that determines action, then it would become less meaningful for us. You know, my response is, if we really value and validate and treasure that which we're focusing on, then something magnificent will happen in our lives. So I want you to hear what Jesus has to say. Remember, the disciples just asked him in Luke's Gospel 11, verse 1, Lord, would you teach us to pray? And this is what he says in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by them. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, he'll reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father in heaven knows you need before what you need be even before you ask him. Jesus goes on, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And of course, many of us finish that prayer by putting the add-on. But I want to stop there today and to say, deliver us from the evil one. Now, I trust if you're following along, you'll be able to follow my logic, because I want this teaching today on the Lord's Prayer, and again, this is a series, part one, I want this to be informational, inspirational, and motivational for each one of us who choose to listen today with our hearts. You know, at First Baptist Church, Smiths Falls, we pray this prayer every morning. Every Sunday morning when we come, it's part of our worship. And you know what? I'll tell you a little secret. Every once in a while, because I sit at the front of the church and I pray the prayer very quietly as I listen to 150 to 200 people praying it out loud. And I just love listening to their united voices as they pray those words. Our Father in heaven. It's a beautiful thing to listen to. For me, it's inspirational as well as motivational. Are you ready to begin? Here's point number one. I want to suggest that this prayer is the model prayer. It's meant for mentoring us. It's a model for us on prayer. Let's go to the information. I said this would be informational. I want to take your or draw your attention to what is referred to as the Didache. The Didache means the teaching of the 12 apostles. Now, notice in the Didache, this is one of the oldest non-canonical Christian books that we have in existence. The Didache makes it very clear that the early church, now listen, always used the Lord's Prayer in its public worship services. And they did not permit non-believers to join in the praying of that prayer. Did you know that? The Didache encouraged all believers to pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. The Didache encouraged all believers to pray the Lord's Prayer at communion services, at weddings, at baptisms, or really dedications, any special event. There they were, praying the Lord's Prayer. Throughout the history of Christianity, the Lord's Prayer was considered to be one of the three most important things for a Christian to memorize alongside of the Apostles' Creed and the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, let's just think about this for a second. The Apostles' Creed, whatever happened to that? There are not many churches using that today. The Apostles' Creed was seen as a summation of Christian faith. The Ten Commandments was seen as the summation of Christian ethics. Christian ethics. The Lord's Prayer was seen as the summation of Christian spirituality. Put it together, and what do you have? Well, Thomas Watson, a 17th century Christian preacher, said, when you put it all together, what you have is a heap of massive gold. What a treasure. And yet, for many of us today, we just pass right along and through it. We don't pray the Lord's Prayer together anymore in our churches, certainly not in our schools anymore. Most of us couldn't name the Ten Commandments, and I would say most of us have no idea what the Apostles' Creed even is. Listen. When it comes to prayer, God doesn't want us to pray like this. Oh, great Spirit in heaven, or light of all lights. No, he wants us to pray on a personal level, on an intimate level. Our Father in heaven. That word Father in the Aramaic is Abba, or it means Daddy. Our Daddy in heaven. Our Dad in heaven. Our Father in heaven. You see, God is personal. He's a personal God. He's a relational God. He doesn't want to force us into a relationship. He gives us life, but it's life so that we can spend it with him and on him. He's a personal God and an intimate being who breathed life into us. Oh yes, this prayer is a model that mentors each one of us. Each time we pray it, each time we read it. My second point is this. Jesus makes this point about warnings. Two warnings here. Verse 5 in Matthew chapter 6. Don't use your prayers to show off. Don't use your prayers to show off or to try to impress people as to how religious you are. That's a good warning. But that doesn't apply to the Lord's Prayer. He was referring to other prayers. Then he introduced the Lord's Prayer. The second warning is found in verses 7 and 8 of Matthew 6. He says, don't just babble a lot of meaningless words. But that doesn't apply to the Lord's Prayer. Those words are not meaningless, folks. Point number 3. You see, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples. And you know what? He did. And you know what? We should. Not as a prayer that is recited by rote, but as a prayer that is spoken with love and devotion to our Master, who we're in love with. Remember that rabbis always taught their disciples a prayer, and people would recognize who you were following by the prayer that you prayed. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, particularly as we beam back into history, those who prayed the Lord's Prayer were recognized to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now ponder what the Didache has revealed about the use of this prayer. Only believers were permitted to pray this prayer. It was prayed 3 times a day, then on special occasions. But let's also remember the warning. When we venture away from this prayer, and I think it's good to pray as from our hearts, of course, as long as we're not babbling or praying to impress others. Let's come back to the prayer again. Number 4, let me say that I believe that this is also a family prayer. Did you note the personal pronouns in this prayer? Our, us, we, our Father in heaven. Forgive us. It's not saying forgive me, it's forgive us. As we, not as I, but as we forgive others. Every part of this prayer is in the plural. Jesus, I believe, is expecting us to pray this together. Now, that means I can be in my house, you can be in your house, you're praying the Lord's Prayer, I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, the Lord hears his family praying that prayer together. But when we come to a worship service, as we come together to worship, as we pray it together, I believe we are really coming to the level of Jesus' expectation. He gave the prayer so we'd pray it together, and so we'd be identified as his followers. Christianity and the faith journey is not an individual endeavor. It's a communal one. We are meant to do life in Christ together. He intends us to pray together. He intends us to be together. He intends us to be united together. Part of this teaching is that we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, can pray together. Now again, of course we pray on our own, and of course we pray in our closet, and of course we pray prayers from our hearts. This is in addition to that. So many today do not belong to a local group or a local church. They talk about being Christian and so forth. They drop in and then they move out. They're temporary residents, as it were. I remember when I first went to First Baptist Church in Smiths Falls, I told them I'd like to change the name of the church to Cheers. Of course, I was saying that with tongue in cheek. They were getting upset that, really, you're going to change it to Cheers? What kind of a name is that? Well, I always watched Cheers, that sitcom on TV. But what I loved about Cheers is, and you know what I'm going to say, it was a place that you went to where everybody knew your name. To me, that's what church is. And therefore, if we're with a family, a church family where everybody knows your name and we're family and we move together, we pray together, we serve together, it makes sense, even as we pray individually, but we come together also at different points and we pray together. Let me give you an overview of what I'm talking about, which would be my 5th point. There are 7 requests in this prayer. The first 3 requests focus on the matters that concern God. The last 4 requests focus on the needs of the one who is praying. The first 3 requests focus on the matters that concern God, the glory of his name, the coming of his kingdom, the accomplishing of his will. The glory of his name, the coming of the kingdom, the accomplishing of his will. The last 4 requests focus on the needs of the one who's praying this prayer. Give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. Oh, we pray that part so well. Give us today our daily bread. We must remember when we pray that Jesus is the bread of life, and what we're praying is that we would be nurtured on the bread of life, that he would be the one who nurtures us. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation or indeed a time of testing. Deliver us from the evil one. Folks, we need to understand that these requests are so important, all 7 of them. This series, we're going to look at each one of them individually. So let's look at the first one right now. Our Father in heaven. We begin there. Now stop up and think about that for a moment. Just as we say that, our Father in heaven. Did you notice that this speaks of God's eminence and his transcendence? His eminence is that he is near us. Even speaking the word father or daddy or Abba, we sense the nearness of his presence. And yet, when we say our Father in heaven, that speaks of his transcendence. He's beyond us. He's in heaven. Is heaven up and hell down? And by the way, I believe in heaven and I believe in hell and I believe there are actual places. But is it dimensional? Is it up, down? Who knows? We'll find out when we get there. But the reality is when we pray our Father, we speak about the closeness of God. When we speak about in heaven, we recognize the fact that he's beyond us. He's greater than us. Other word, father in Aramaic, again, literally means daddy. Did you know when Jesus came on the scene, he addressed God only as father? All of his prayers address God as father. The Gospels record his use of the term father more than 60 times in reference to God. And yet, in all of the Old Testament, God is referred to as father only 14 times, and then only in relation to the nation of Israel, but never on an intimate level. No one in the entire history of Israel had ever prayed like Jesus prayed. And he transformed the relationship with his Father in heaven, God, from one of a distant, unapproachable deity to that of an intimate, relational Father. Let's listen to Scripture as we look at 2 Thessalonians for a second. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. The Apostle Paul writes and gives us an interesting picture. This is what he writes. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with you, each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Did you catch it? Where's the bar set? What's the goal? For each of us, it's to live lives worthy of God. What does that look like? To live a life worthy of God. It means to be holy, to be righteous, to be blameless. How in the world are we going to get there? Well, the image here, or the metaphor here, the word picture here, is it's a picture of a father who deals with his own children by encouraging them, comforting them, and urging them. That word encouraging means encouraging them forward in their faith. It means to coach them. It means it's like saying, get up. Get up. I know you fell down. Get up. Keep moving forward. Comforting them means to stimulate them softly and tenderly to say, get up. Keep moving forward. I know you can do it. Urging them is stirring them up with authority, persuading them by saying, not only get up, not only move forward, I know you can do it because I'm doing it as well. You see, we are to walk in a manner worthy of God who has called us to his kingdom and to his glory. Point number 7, when we say our Father, we also add in heaven. Heaven is not just our destination, but I'm suggesting it's also our motivation. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus mentions the name Father 17 times. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, 17 times. And 10 of those references includes the modifier heaven or heavenly. Yes, the church identifies with heaven. We identify with heaven. We identify with our Father in heaven. It's so important that we understand that. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You believe in God the Father, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, heaven, there you may be also. And then he goes on to say, when they said, well, Lord, we don't know the way. And he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. How do we get to heaven? Through Jesus Christ. There's no other name given under heaven where we must be saved. But at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, our Father in heaven. We're told in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, that we are pilgrims, aliens on earth, because we are citizens of heaven. Oh, we need to remember that. Citizens of heaven. Citizens where our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is enthroned. He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Therefore, I always say to people, you know, you remember Psalm 121, I lift up mine eyes onto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. The fact of the matter is we need to every day look up and look to the one who's enthroned in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And we're to look to the Father, we're to look to the Son, and we're to give them thanks and praise for what Jesus did on the cross and what the Father has said to us throughout his word. Remember what the Father says to us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We are pilgrims and aliens on planet Earth. We're here because God has invited us into his family. And when we make that all-important decision to believe in Jesus Christ, we become part of the family of God. And then we become not just pilgrims and aliens. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 reminds us, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And the reality, folks, is that newness means that we change identification. We were a child of the world, now we're a child of God. We're part of the family of God, and he gives us this privilege. Now, are you listening? He gives us this privilege. We are now counted as ambassadors of God. Ambassadors. To be an ambassador means that we know that we represent another kingdom, our Father in heaven. We represent his kingdom. Oh, we need to understand that we represent him every time we speak, every time we do something. The way in which we live, people will read us very well, and they'll know whose kingdom we represent. They'll know whose king we represent. Oh, yes, we represent King Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We represent our Father in heaven. Paul says also in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Also, set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. Think about it. Think about what that just said. We're to set our hearts on things above. We're to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things, but indeed on the one who brings us salvation, on the one who brings us life, and the one who said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We give him thanks and we give him praise. I quoted Psalm 121 a moment ago. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Let me tell you how that ends. Verse 8, it says, as we look to him, he is the one who's looking to us. He's the one who's watching over us. It says that he's watching our coming and our going, both now and forevermore. Our Father in heaven is watching our every move. They're loving eyes as he's watching us, but they're also exposing eyes. And we need to run into his arms and say, Father, thank you for loving me so. Thank you for calling me to be part of your family. Thank you for the privilege of being completely yours. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as perfectly in me as it is done in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Folks, next Sunday's message will be entitled, Hallowed be your name, or Holy is your name. It may help you as you read your concordances and your Bible to just look at the name of God. Oh, the name that is beyond every other name. We talk about the name of God. He is Elohim, the creator. He is El Elyon, the one who sits on the throne. He is El Shaddai, the mighty Lord of the mountains. He is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for you. He is Jehovah Shalom, your peace. He is Jehovah Shammah, the one who is ever so present. I'm looking forward to talking to you about the name of God next Sunday. But I want to thank you once again for today, for listening and praying and for being part of this radio family. Once again, thank you for your prayer support and your consistent financial support. Each week I try to tell it like it is, both in the message that God gives me and in my reporting and updating as to where we are in this ministry financially. We do need your help. I ask you to remember us in prayer, and I ask you to stop, think, and pray about what God would have you do. Now, I want to remind you, please be faithful to your local church budget first. Always take care of that first. And after that is finished, then pray what God would have you do. Would he have you support this ministry? And if it's a yes, then I'm asking you to continue to pray as to in what way and how much you would give. And I'm praying that the Lord who moves your heart will also move the pen that writes your check. And we'll look forward to receiving that. Again, we leave that with the Lord. Let me encourage you and challenge you to make a check payable to the Good News Christian Ministries. Send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. You can expect a receipt at income tax time. You can email me at don.thegoodnews@gmail.com. Let me encourage you to spread the word and get your friends listening to this program. 6:30 a.m. on CFRA, 5:80 a.m. or on Rogers Cable, 927, or CFRA.com. You can listen to the program there or go to our website, Good News Ministries, and then just click on broadcast. Now, my friends, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross, a church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life, a church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, the precepts, and the promises that are found within it. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that is hungering for hope, love, and truth. May God bless you. Amen. Let's now listen to Anne Murray singing the Lord's Prayer. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.